Hello and welcome to The Sun Will Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Saleh. The bombardment of Gaza has left over 2,000 people dead and many more thousands injured, but has met with differing reactions from the Arab and Muslim world. While the populations of all those countries have expressed solidarity with the Gazans, they've also expressed frustration at the inaction of their own governments. Many Persian Gulf countries, for example, have paid lip service to Israeli atrocities, but have also criticized Hamas, for example, for launching attacks on Israel. Others have even directly collaborated with the Zionist state in blockading the Gazans, while others have offered financial help and have actively armed and trained the Palestinian resistance for years. So what has the Gaza conflict revealed about which regional and international countries are really helping the Palestinians? All that's coming up, but first here's Ashraf Shannon with a report on how the people of Gaza view the stances of their regional neighbours.
The mood among shell-shocked Gazans is of despair and anger as they blame their suffering during Israel's so-called Operation Protective Edge on the silence and even the collaboration of Arab regimes. Over 2,000 people have so far been killed, and at least 10,000 were injured, as Israel resumed its air, land, and naval attacks on the tiny coastal sliver.
The way Arab leaders are acting is strange, and it raises suspicions that they are conspiring against us. No Arab leader has condemned the Israeli attacks on us. It is the children, the women, and the youth of Gaza who are being killed just because they demand freedom and the simple things in life.
So far, Israeli forces have bombed and destroyed over 15,000 homes in Gaza, internally displacing nearly 250,000 people. Israel waged this war on Gaza allegedly to destroy the infrastructure of Palestinian resistance, but all it has done is to kill and maim innocent civilians, many of them women and children.
I want all Arab leaders to imagine Gaza as its own country and feel our pain. If Arab leaders remain silent, this scenario will be repeated in their countries. Whatever happened to us will also happen to them.
Several Arab countries, like Egypt and Jordan, have diplomatic ties and peace treaties with Israel. Other countries, like the Persian Gulf state of Qatar, hold commercial and diplomatic ties with Tel Aviv.
I want the Arabs to know that Gaza is being subjected to a Holocaust-like massacres carried out by the Zionist regime. I demand that all Arabs stand by the Palestinians of Gaza, and I want Arab countries to expel Israeli and American embassies from their countries in order to support Gaza.
Some Gazans even went as far as urging Arab people to revolt against their leaders, who remain silent while innocent Palestinians were being slaughtered by the Israeli forces.
I call on the Arab nations to revolt against their tyrant rulers because Israel has been killing us and destroying our homes while Arab leaders were watching in silence. The Israeli military killed our children and bombed our homes while we were inside them. We're fighting for the freedom of Jerusalem and Al-Quds, and all Arab people and their leaders must help us to achieve our goal.
The fact is that while some Arab countries have offered moral and financial support, only Iran has offered the practical military support that has kept the Palestinian people of Gaza steadfast in the face of brutal and inhumane Israeli attacks against the innocent civilians.
To discuss the reaction of regional countries to the onslaught on Gaza, we have two guests in the studio with us today. Maha Rezek is a journalist from Gaza, and before coming to London, she used to work with Palestinian refugees. And Jafar Hadi Hassan is a Middle East expert with a particular interest in the politics of the Israeli-Palestine conflict. Thank you both for coming in today. Maha, if I can start with you. Obviously, in the report we've just seen, a lot of angry people there talking about regional countries. I mean, you're from Gaza. What's your kind of reaction to how regional countries have reacted to this conflict?
This kind of war is completely different than previous wars, and the reason why is the regional politics around Gaza has radically changed with the Arab Spring and the rise of the Brotherhood and the fall of the Brotherhood in certain countries, and that definitely affected the domestic, you know, affairs within Palestine. But people were really shocked with the level of silence, and if in certain particular cases, collaboration, lack of action, lack of condemnation. Saudi Arabia came after 3 weeks with a very shy condemnation. I dare even say that it wasn't even they banned protests. Actually, someone issued one of the sheikhs there issued a fatwa and basically said that people going out in solidarity with Gaza.
Why worse this time? Why has it got worse?
They basically were saying, if you go out, you're taking away the time where you should be worshiping God and whatnot. And this is new. We have never witnessed something like that. We have never seen shy statements even. Saudi Arabia even failed to even mention that this is an aggression that's happening by an occupying power. Even though at the time, you know, they had no problem talking extensively about terrorist acts in the name of Islam. They went nonstop about terrorist acts threatening their countries and whatnot, but nothing on the Israeli occupation.
And Jafar, the same question to you, a general reaction from you?
The stand of the Arab state is really bad. In fact, I read some reports that some of the Arab states, they are collaborating with Israel.
Should we name names here? We're talking about
Yes,
Egypt?
one of the important statement which I read is by the Galaman, Dan Galaman, who was Israeli representative at the UN. He said, the Gulf states, they tell us to continue with the war and finish the job again and again.
And this is behind the scenes, obviously not publicly.
Yeah. Well, I read it on the internet.
And why would they want to do that? What, finish off Hamas or finish off Gaza?
Well, I tell you, there are many reasons. You know, the Gulf states now generally, except Qatar, they are against the Brotherhood. And they think Hamas is one of the groups affiliated with the Brotherhood. So therefore,
so
they want to... I mean, even Netanyahu himself, in his speech, he said the Arab countries, they support us, except Qatar, and he mentions Turkey as a Muslim state, right? So, unfortunately, the stand of the... this Faisal, Khalid al-Faisal, Turk al-Faisal, who was the chief intelligence, former chief intelligence of Saudi Arabia, he even criticized Hamas. He said, why Hamas directly hitting Israel? Why?
If I can come to you, Maha, Egypt specifically, in the social media stuff that I've read from Gazans themselves, they really seem to be targeting Egypt in particular.
Well, people see Egypt as, historically at least, you know, they were the allies, they're the natural and the only mediators that we've always had, you know, they were the ones who were... they were blockading Gaza, but they never, even under the time of Mubarak, they never bombed any tunnels. They never stopped the supply of food, you know.
Even at least
weapons, resistance. The money for the resistance was still coming. So on the surface, they tried to appease, you know, the allies, the U.S. pressure, because they have their interest with the aid that the U.S. gives them.
But now
and
that
board
is completely sealed.
But now it's like you're being attacked from everywhere. And beyond that, I have to disagree with my friend here that, no, they're not even shying away. The incitement, the level of incitement that is publicly, you know, condemning Hamas and actually asking the army to join Israel in destroying Hamas and the Palestinians inside Gaza Strip, because we are held responsible for the bloodshed of some soldiers. So this incitement is actually becoming more normalized, and there is a lot of anger that is piling up from the Palestinian side. This is why the criticism are directly going to the Egyptian side.
We'll continue this in a few minutes, but for the moment, your views and your comments are, of course, an integral part of this show. So we need your inputs, please, on our social media pages. Here's Faizal Ahmed with what you've been saying about the reaction of Arab and Muslim of the Arab and Muslim world to events in Gaza.
Thank you, Roshan. Now, this week, we wanted to know whether you think Arab nations have abandoned Palestine. Starting with Twitter, Fatima from the USA has tweeted, "What's happening here in Gaza is a massacre by one of the world's most powerful armies, encouraged by the silence of the Arab nations." A And Murtaza from Pakistan says, genocide helped by rich Arab states, Israel is committing war crimes against innocent Palestinian civilians. And we also received a number of emails. And Kaye from Kenya says, the Muslim world, in particular Arab nations, have always abandoned Palestine's freedom struggle, and the few dedicated countries that supported Palestinians by placing resources on the ground have faced numerous threats of invasion from allegedly supporting terrorism, while some like Syria, Libya and Iraq, who are instrumental when it comes to Palestine's freedom, have been destroyed with the help of Western puppets in the Middle East. And Zia from the UK says, the solution is to kick out these puppet regimes across the Arab and Muslim world. The secular nationalist puppet regimes have forgotten their Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine, but the vast majority of Muslims have not and will not. And Musa from Egypt says, US-supported Arab leaders are afraid of any popular movement that demands freedom and equality or sharing the wealth. They don't stand up to Israel because the US owns them. And taking a different line, James from the USA says, one thing the Europeans and Arabs have in common is their hypocrisy. And Ezra adds, the problem in the Middle East is the Arabs can't coexist. The Palestinians are no better. The Palestinians, who supposedly hail from a country that never existed, have been offered their own state about a dozen times throughout history, but they are not willing to live next to a Jewish state. And that's all the comments for this week. If you'd like to have your views featured on the show, be sure to send us an email or engage with us via social media by joining our Facebook page or following us on Twitter.
Jaffrey, if I can come to you, because I mean, we talked earlier on about some of the states that are criticised very heavily by Palestinians themselves. I mean, when I went to Gaza a few years ago, one thing that I noticed, the few states like Turkey and Qatar and Iran were praised by Palestinians because they were helping people in one way or the other. Your comment on those three countries, really.
Yeah, but before I comment on that, you asked me in the previous question that why these Arabs, they have this particular stand.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the affiliation of Hamas with the Brotherhood.
Yes.
But also the help of Iran to Hamas and the stand of Hamas towards Syria and Hezbollah. And of course, if we take this within the context of sectarian Shi'i Sunni, of course, and particularly Iran,
yeah.
I mean, these Gulf states are against Iran, against the influence of Iran. And Hamas is getting help from Iran. So
that is,
That's right. By the way, Iran worked really. Actively in gathering world conferences, meetings, and so on, people. They initiated two or three, one of them, Non-Alliance, as I mentioned, and the other one is the Islamic Congress and so on. So that is important because...
I mean, whatever the disagreements over the Arab revolutions, it seems to me that the contacts between Hamas, Iran, and even Hezbollah, and training and stuff like that have continued, despite the political differences they may have. Amar, if I can come to you. I mean, the same kind of questions, really. Qatar and Turkey seem to be offering money. Iran is more, let's arm the Palestinians. Your comment on that? On those positions?
Well, I think Hamas, for them, they're very much interested in keeping their all, you know, all the options with all the allies. They don't want to upset anyone. Obviously, they are under so much pressure to give in the power, and they're now with a unity government, so they're trying to have like more diplomatic relations with everyone, but they're not giving up their fight on the field. They're not giving up the rockets, and anyone who's going to offer any help, they will accept it. Interestingly enough, even though they had tension with the Syrian regime over the revolution in Syria, but some of the rockets that reached Israel, the heart of Israel, were Syrian-made.
Yes, yes.
So what I think Hamas is being more strategic now. They definitely matured as a political party, and they continue
Don't put your eggs in one basket, basically.
They do not. They know the things regionally are rapidly changing, and your friend today can be your enemy tomorrow. Mm. But what they're working closely with is the Palestinian different factions, including the armed wing of Fatah. And then you have the leftist parties, you have PFLP. They're all fighting together. And the most important thing is people are rallying behind them because they know Palestinians know more than any other time they have got no one to support them internationally.
But does it concern you as a Gazan that, I mean, even though Turkey and Qatar are helping, there's no doubt about that, they're not giving weapons, are they? Is there a strategy to demilitarize, ultimately, the Palestinian resistance? And is that a dangerous trend?
I don't think there is a talk about that. It was not even Egypt rejected to demilitarize Gaza. They said, you know, arms, the weapons of the resistance are a red line and we're not going to demilitarize. And even if that happened, you know, Hamas will never give up. Not only Hamas, but also the other political factions are fighting side by side.
But Turkey and Qatar are not going to give them weapons, are they?
But
just really quickly.
But no, I don't think so, which is very interesting because the reason why Israel pulled off and they decided we don't want to have negotiations because they already, Tzipi Livni offered to go to the UN Security Council and have demilitarization for Gaza in exchange for peace.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off, Mahak, because we're going to move on. We've been looking at the latest news from Palestine that you've probably not seen on the mainstream media. So here's a quick roundup.
Former court officials and lawyers from the International Criminal Court have claimed that it has avoided opening an investigation into Israeli war crimes in Gaza as a result of Western pressure. The lawyers argue the ICC isn't living up to the ideals expressed in its statute, that the most serious crimes of concern to the international community as a whole must not go unpunished. Among the biggest contributors to the ICC budget are the UK and France, which have both sought to persuade the Palestinians to forego a war crimes investigation. Scottish First Minister Alex Salmond has called for the United Kingdom to impose an arms embargo on Israel following its military actions in Gaza. Salmond made the call ahead of an independence vote on September 18th. He says Scotland would be free to pursue a radically different foreign policy if it goes independent. But London has only announced a review of UK arms exports. Since 2010, the British government has granted arms export licences worth £42 million to British defence firms to sell military equipment to Israel.
Jaffa, I mean, I was asking Mahara her opinion about Turkey and Qatar and Iran before we went to that report. One theory that I've heard is that, okay, Turkey and Qatar, they're giving lots of money, but they're only giving money.
Right.
They're not giving weapons.
Yeah, true.
And is there a conspiracy, I'm not sure, to make the Palestinians give up resistance in a way, get them dependent on money as a means to make them give up resistance and do a deal with Israel eventually?
Well, I don't think so. Mm. And if there is any conspiracy, Hamas will not cave in at all. It will stick to this military section and will not give up on that. Because Hamas, if it wants to live as a struggling and a strong opponent to Israel, must have the weapons.
Yes.
Otherwise, it will be so weak and it will be defeated.
Mm. And Maha, looking back over the last few years, the Arab revolutions that have taken place, I mean, strategically, Gaza is more isolated than ever, isn't it?
Yeah, it is more isolated than ever. It's losing more support from from the Arab level, but internationally, it's been actually very promising. We witnessed thousands, hundreds of thousands coming out in support in London, across the world, even in Turkey, lots of places, Iran, even Pakistan, China.
Yeah.
So as the support is growing internationally, it's diminishing locally, and it's understandable.
But ultimately, the Arab states or the wider Muslim world, they're not going to liberate Palestine, are they?
They're not.
You guys have got to liberate yourselves.
Of course, but this realization is coming clearer now because Gaza managed to rip the masks off everyone's face. And people now, if you hear women, particularly women who lost everything, they say, you know, this is a fight that we have to win
alone. But I think in the future they will be able to liberate themselves. I mean, you can compare now. Hamas now is stronger than 5 years ago, and it will be stronger in 5 years' time. And of course, Israel will be defeated by this. What could it do?
Maha, I want to ask you, because you're Palestinian, what do you want from the regional countries?
It's simple. This is what, not what I say, what my people say. We don't want your support, but we don't want you to collaborate. Mm. We have so many fighters in Palestine. We historically fought for over than 60 years, and we don't want anything from you. We're not asking you to come. We don't want the NATO to come and invade. We don't want to have a Libya-like kind of, you know, liberation that will get us into civil war. We don't want any of this. We want to fight our own battle ourselves. Just do not collaborate against this, because as it stands right now, Palestine is not fighting Israel alone. It's fighting Israel and the colonial power, Britain and the United States, and collaborating Arab states. So this is not asymmetrical warfare. Yeah. Palestinians are not able to win it by themselves unless, you know, people stop backing Israel with aid, with military, and with diplomacy, with diplomatic and legal cover that gives it impunity from its war crimes.
Jaffa, we've got about a minute left before the end of the show, so I'll give the last word to you.
Yeah, well, as I said to you before, the Palestinians, as Maha said, they want everyone to stop plotting against them. And themselves, they can liberate the whole Palestine, not only Gaza. I'm sure of that. The West Bank and Gaza and so on. And they have enough weapons, in fact, to fight Israel. Though, I mean, the Israeli army is so strong, but they can defeat it, as you can see now.
Yeah, and even though Gaza's isolated, they've actually done a lot better in terms of
the
resistance.
Well, isolated by the official Arab states.
Okay.
It's not isolated by the Arab population.
Yes.
You can see the demonstration supporting.
But the states control the resources, don't they? So, you know. But I'm sorry.
But there are so many demonstrations in the Arab countries now.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you guys for coming in, and sorry for cutting you short. That is all the time we have for today. So thank you once more to our guests. And please don't forget to get busy on social media telling us what you think of the issues raised in this program. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.
Thank you.